This is Michelle with Variety Radio Online. I'm excited to share with you guys an indie film, Already Tomorrow in Hong Kong, a film by Emily Ting, starring Jamie Chung and Brian Greenberg. I have with me today Jamie, who plays Ruby in Already Tomorrow in Hong Kong. She is also Mulan in the hit TV show Once Upon a Time, a voice in Disney's Big Hero 6, starred in several movies, Sin City, A Dame to Kill, Hangover 2 and 3, and Sucker Punch, just to name a few. I also have Brian, who plays Josh. He has worked on HBO movie Bessie, also movies like Friends with Benefits, Good Guy, and Bride's Wars. Also, he is an accomplished singer, songwriter, and musician. He's performed songs in Noble Sun, October Road, and Unscripted. And one of our fan favorites, One Tree Hill, he's performed several songs, and also in the series is Jake. Welcome, Jamie and Brian.
Good morning.
Morning.
So first, I would love to congratulate you guys on your recent wedding.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. First, I'd love for you to tell the listeners a little bit about Already Tomorrow in Hong Kong.
It's Already Tomorrow in Hong Kong is a story about two cross-star lovers, Ruby and Josh, and their spontaneous meeting in Hong Kong one evening. The story takes place over 2 days in the span of a year, and it's a story about missed opportunities and but two people getting to know a city and falling in love with the city and falling in love with each other, but it's just not the right time for either of them.
So in the movie, it was easy for me to fall in love with Hong Kong. I thought it was just a great, wonderful scene of feeling the lights, the nightlife, the way it felt. What was it like filming in Hong Kong? I know the weather's different. I know that it was done at night. So what was that Hong Kong feeling?
It was the first time we, both of us, have ever been there. And it's a beautiful, beautiful city. The city lights up at night with a light show that they coordinate with all the buildings. So the city skyline lights up like no one's ever seen before. And it's on the bay, and it's very cosmopolitan. So it's very easy for Western tourists to be there because you can speak English and still get by. On the Hong Kong side, but on the Kowloon side, it's a little bit more local. And that's where Jamie and I stayed, and we shot the second half of the movie there. And this movie is a love letter to that city. It's never been portrayed this way for Western audiences, and it's really a love letter to people who want to go there, or if you've been there, it's a reminiscent of all the good things that city has to offer.
Also in the filming, it was the real crowds. It was an uncontrolled environment. Was there any challenges with that type of filming situation?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can't control the crowds, and we usually shot in the evening during the busiest times. And we anticipated this, so we flew out 10 days prior to production, and we walked out all the scenes, and we determined how long each scene would take. We did as much planning as possible prior to shooting because we knew it was going to be absolute chaos. Like, that's the one element that we couldn't control. And we often had wonderful long takes where it was abruptly interrupted, you know, in the middle of a take by a drunk expat, or it was quite frustrating, but we knew those were going to be fixed.
Yeah, and also, I forgot, you asked about the weather. It's really, really, really hot there. And, you know, this is a run-and-gun shoot where we didn't have, you know, trailers or even, like, a dressing rooms or anything like that. So what we had was a van that would circle around the block while we were shooting and just keep the AC running because it was so hot. We would literally do a scene and then jump into the van to cool off and then shoot another take.
And the great thing about the Long Quai Fong.
Long Quai Fong.
Thank you. You're so good. The Long Quai Fong scene, the party street scene at the end of Act One. We used a really long lens and we kind of perched up on a balcony and shot down, so we didn't have a huge camera with us through that big crowded scene, and it was kind of fun. It's like we were playing, spies, like we knew exactly where the camera was, but I felt like that was my favorite scene to shoot.
And now you guys are both executive producers and also the main characters. What were your biggest challenge to overcome? It sounds like obviously the heat was one and the crowds another. Anything major that was just tough to get this done in that 14 days?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to shoot a movie in 14 days. Also, it was Emily Ting's first movie that she directed, and, we had a half American crew and half Hong Kong crew, so it certainly presented its group of challenges. And also, there's just things that we encountered that, like for example, to shoot in the night market, we had to. That's all controlled by Triad Mob, we had to pay off like this gang so we could shoot there. Because if we didn't, films that have tried to shoot there before, they'll disrupt the shoot and kick you out of the street. So things like that, little challenges that you just wouldn't know unless you had like a really good local producer, which we did, Sophia Sheck, who was on the ground, and she made this shoot as smooth as possible.
With this movie, it's a two-character movie. What was really unique about your roles in doing a two-character movie, and how you felt and prepared for that top role?
I think the most important thing about each character was conflict. This beautiful story could not be told if either of the characters were available and seemingly ready to jump into this relationship or, kind of give each other a shot. Throughout the entire film, we always were very conscious of what the internal conflict was that was holding us back from kissing this person or from allowing this person in. So I felt like that was a really interesting challenge, especially during the pre-production of tweaking the script just a little bit. We were very cognizant of that individually.
Yeah, for me, the challenge was to play the local, and I've never been there, and I only had 10 days to kind of get the sense of that city and the language. I had to learn some Cantonese and, just pick up little things. Like there's a thing, if you're on the Kowloon side and you're taking a taxi to the Hong Kong side, there's like a hand gesture that you can do to a taxi that will let you know that you want to go under the bridge. And just little nuanced things that I picked up while I was there that would flavor my character to feel like he knew, he could show that he could introduce Ruby to the city that he knew so well.
In the movie, there's a lot of a little bit of comedy and a little bit of seriousness to stereotypes in relationships, and any thought about how you guys portrayed that? Because I thought you pulled it off really well with making the point, but also, kind of that it's still there. It's still in society, but it's, to make light of it also, that it doesn't matter.
I got to congratulate Emily for just, tackling the issues straight up and just addressing it. And because when you go to Hong Kong, you see a lot of white men with Asian women. It's very common. And I think there is a stereotype that goes both ways on that. And I just think you can't make a movie like this without addressing that. And also, that's something that's another thing that I think Jamie and I related to, because we received those kind of, I don't know, what would you say? Assumptions, yeah, in our lives, in our personal lives. So, yeah, I thought it was very clever and very, I don't know, I respect Emily for just going there.
Well, and it's loosely based on her own experience. So this story kind of came about because she met this expat one evening in Hong Kong, and they kind of had this great evening. And then towards the end of the evening, he said, you know what, I actually have a girlfriend. And she's like, what? So the story came about through her personal experience in Hong Kong.
I thought she did a really good job also, you guys. You guys did an amazing job, and I thought that the whole storyline and the things she did tackle, she did it very subtle, but just in a beautiful environment. So I thought she, kudos. So,
yeah, sure.
I love the ending. Do you guys have any thoughts on the ending or what you felt when you kind of read the ending and where it left everyone?
Well, originally the ending was there was a third act, and in the third act we pick up in Los Angeles, Ruby opening up a brick and mortar, like her own like store with all of her own clothing, and so with all her own designs, and Josh shows up and we kind of pick things up from there. So it was a very sweet, daydreamy ending, but we like the ambiguity of the ending, and, you know, we wanted the audiences to decide for themselves whether or not if they were in their shoes, because at that point we hope that they're so invested in these characters. We were hoping that at the end of the movie they would choose for themselves whether or not they would cross that line of cheating on their spouses to be with this person or to take the chances being with this person. So we wanted the audience to make the decision.
Yeah. Well, great job, and congratulations. It's in theaters today, and it's also out in demand, and so today's your big day. So congratulations in all the promotions and that's going on this week. I really wish you guys good luck. Thank you so much, Jamie and Brian, for your time today, and good luck with your opening weekend with Already Tomorrow in Hong Kong.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.